This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Jane Steinberg.
Riddle me this, Don Ecker. Is ufology as we know it dead?
Well, I would have to say it is pretty much on life support. What I think needs to happen, and it may be right now, who knows, with this recent disclosure coming from so-called government insiders to rejuvenate the field. Now, where are the academics? Where are the scientists today that are willing, that for the most part are willing to tackle this? The question is, they're apparently up to this point few and far between. I just recently had a PhD archaeologist on my show a couple of weeks ago. And we were discussing, well, among other things, we were discussing this 12,000-year-old problem, a lot of other hidden knowledge that academics are just loath to part with. Things like the Smithsonian Institute back in the day destroying things that had been sent to the Smithsonian with absolutely not a qualm, because it interfered with the commonly accepted line, like giant skeletons, many of them that had been discovered here in North America, going back God only knows how long ago. Uparts, things that are out of place, okay, from our understanding of history as we have been teaching it. And there's a lot of that going on. And the problem is, if you get an academic who has a curious mind and is willing to extend themselves on something that they feel passionate about, if it goes against the company line, they get slapped around. And in some cases, they get literally driven from the field. Now, somebody that documented that in a very real-world setting was Michael Cremo and Dr. Richard L. Thompson. They came out with a book roughly 25, 26 years ago. As soon as I heard about it, I ordered it, got a copy, titled Forbidden Archaeology. And in this book is some things that will absolutely astound you. Manufactured artifacts that have been discovered going back not hundreds or thousands of years, but literally millions of years. In one case, machined metallic machine, because they have grooves around them, found down in South Africa that were dated in strata 3.2 billion years ago. 3.2 billion with a B. Archaeologists have found things like in Oklahoma, in coal deposits there. As they brought these coal deposits up, and they brought the big chunks of coal, you know, open so they can make it smaller, you know, for sale and what have you. Gold chain in one case fell out. In another, a silver vase that was basically in the ground and coal formed around it. Don't take my word for it. Get a copy of that book and take a look. But talk about attacked and castigated by the scientific establishment, called pseudoscientists. I mean, you know, it's like today, okay, if you come out and you speak, and I'll just throw this out, you speak strongly about we need a secure border because we have no idea who's coming into the country from who knows where. You're a racist. Well, that's the same thing as calling these guys pseudoscientists. And it's meant to demean. It's meant to hurt. It's meant to basically knock them out of the field.
The whole pseudoscience thing really gets my goat. It's definitely a pejorative term where they're trying to discredit a person, call them a crackpot or whatever the case may be. And maybe in some cases, well, I don't know that it's warranted really in any case. Like if we're going to be really scientific about it, then that's not what we should be doing. Name calling shouldn't have anything to do with it. And look, we had another guest on, Sharon Hill. Now, she's a geologist, and we asked her about some of these uparts and finds, and she was able to provide some reasonable explanations from a geological perspective as to how some of that could have taken place. But she was really open-minded about the ideas and found the mysteries themselves quite interesting and felt the same way that the name-calling, there shouldn't really be any place for it in a genuine study of the subject.
Right. Well, I can recall one item in forbidden archaeology that I distinctly recall because it was so outlandish. A skull of a bison was discovered that was dated back 25 or 30,000 years. And, you know, within 100 years or so, they can be pretty accurate as long as they have, organic material to carbon date. But what made this skull absolutely mind-boggling was there was a perfectly round bullet hole in the center of this animal's skull. A bullet hole.
Yeah, how does that happen?
Well, yeah.
Exactly, you know.
How in the heck does that happen?
Hit by a random meteorite? I don't know.
Yeah.
It kind of, you know, maybe some of the wilder stuff, you know, maybe some of this stuff gets transported in time somehow and stuck into the strata in the earth. I don't know. I mean, now we're getting way out there. Sure, that's pseudoscientific. Well, I wouldn't even call it pseudoscientific because I'm not claiming it's science. I mean, people have all kinds of ideas of what it could be. And simply because somebody has an idea about, let's consider this as a possibility, doesn't necessarily mean they're doing science. You know, so if you're not claiming you're doing science in the first place, you can't really call it pseudoscience, can you?
No, but they're mysteries. And that was one of the reasons that, you know, when I was working a case, I looked at it, whether I, you know, did it, you know, with knowledge of foresight or whatever, I looked at it like a puzzle. And it starts to get under your skin. And you get to the point where you want to solve that mystery. And you use anything that, you know, you have in order to hopefully at some point or another get to the truth. But that is a casualty today. People are not concerned about getting to the truth of the matter. They are concerned about winning their viewpoint.
And
when you get to that point, okay, when you say the hell with the truth, I'm going to win one way or the other, then what happens? Everything goes out the window.
Of course, right? but then both sides claim that that's what they're doing. Well, you know, my version of events is the truth. And the other person is like, well, no, my version of the events is the truth. And then so how do you decide as an independent third party, well, which one has greater credibility or which one is more likely to be true than the other?
Which one has the evidence?
Exactly.
Okay. It's the evidence, all right? And putting it together in a logical manner, not an emotional manner.
Let's not get too emotional over this, Don Ecker. With Gina Randall, you're in
The Paracast. Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
You see, we got a chorus in our last one. Don Ecker, we hate to interrupt you, but the gods of commercials from ancient times. Intervene. Go ahead, please.
So we're back?
We are back, sir.
Well, you're sure now. You're sure we're back.
We are back.
Okay.
Or is that someone once said, I'll be right back.
I'll be back.
And we're back.
So anyway, to get back to what I was saying before we had to go to break, today in the United States, unfortunately, This is now, and I'm not getting into specifics, but the divide between people today is probably as great and filled with acrimony since the spring of 1861, when the Civil War started. One reason is that people today have lost the ability to have a reasoned debate. All right? There is no reasoned debate. For years, that was the thing about UFOs, okay, the UFO topic, and other subjects in that basic genre, all right? I tried to have reasoned debates with skeptics over the UFO thing. I will never forget January of 1995. I am one of those guys that like to bring all points of view on my show. And somebody that I had, because he was at the time the premier skeptic, was Philip J. Klass, okay, who has since left this earthly plane a number of years ago. But Klass was the premier UFO skeptic around.
Carry on.
I had him on this particular evening, and we were talking about a lot of things. And, of course, Roswell was, obviously, it was a big story at the time. And he tried to suggest that Major Jesse Marcel claimed that the Roswell debris that he examined was actually only because some newspaper had offered a $3,000 reward for anybody that could provide proof of a UFO. And that's why Marcel claimed that this was otherworldly debris. Well, I jumped and I said, what was the newspaper? When did this happen? Where did this take place at? I mean, just reasonable questions, right? Klass didn't know, and he got embarrassed. And then he said, if you keep interrupting me, I am going to hang up the phone. So I said, okay, Phil, go ahead. So, you know, he kept blathering, and then we hit the big one. The July-August 1952 overflights of Washington, D.C., Phil started saying, well, now if these UFOs were really thought to be maybe a security threat, the Air Force, the Army, the Navy would have brought in airplanes from every part of the country. And I said, they couldn't, Phil. Well, as it was, they had to fly him in from Dover, Delaware, and it took almost an hour to get there. And I said, Phil, they couldn't bring him in to D.C. All the airfields there, the military airfields, were undergoing resurfacing. That was a pretty ballsy thing on my part to say. How did I know that? Because I had talked to the civilian consultant to Project Blue Book, Al Chop. He was the press liaison from the military to the news organizations around the world. Big guy. He was a big guy at the time.
He was a big supporting player in Major Donald Kehoe's books, by the way.
Yeah. When I said that, and I caused him to blow up, he began yelling a profanity. Boo! You know what the other word is. And I said, Phil, you're on the radio. I don't care. That's bull. And, you know, he did it again. And and I said, Phil, I'm just shocked. I'm really shocked that you would talk like that on my radio show. All right. Good night. Click. My whole point about this was trying to have a reasoned, logical debate. Sans the emotionalism. And you can't do it with UFOs. You can't do it with politics. You can't do it with religion or any other provocative subject. There's no way to bridge the divide today.
Well, it seems like, everything is sold on an emotional reaction. That our choice of what we believe, what we buy, what we prefer tends to be an emotional one more than a reasoned one in just about every case.
And we are the poorer for it, I might add.
If something doesn't agree with whoever happens to be in power at the time, then it's fake news.
Absolutely.
And people really, if there's some people that know better and can get around it and take the time to do a little bit of their own homework, like you do. You've got the detective instinct. You don't just listen to the initial story and assume it's true just because somebody who seems to be in a position of authority might have told it. You get in there and you check out people's backgrounds and try to determine what the facts are. That's what we really need in the field if we're going to have anyone step in and take the place of some of the people that have been lost. I don't think we need, like you're saying, to have more emotion in the field and more beliefs and more turf protection. We need people who can cooperate to try to figure out what is really going on.
Well, looking at it from that standpoint, now here's something that I've railed against for years. Most people that call themselves UFO researchers, okay, have no formal training. For the most part, they have no formal training in investigation, in the scientific principles. And, well, Vito Sicari, the interview that we talked about earlier, okay, is a perfect case in point. When his story first started to surface, and this was in the 93-94 time frame, he had allied himself with a MUFON group down in Houston that was basically going to retrace all his steps to verify his story and hopefully get back to that photographic archive and see basically what was down there.
Didn't want to bring this up earlier in the discussion, but I did meet Philip Klass once or twice over the years. We had very, very brief conversations. I didn't get much of a sense of him other than what he wrote and what I heard about him. More to come with Gene Randall and Don Ecker. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Federal investigators have identified two 45 caliber guns used in the shooting at a Virginia Beach municipal building that left 12 people dead. Virginia Governor Ralph Northam.
I'm a doctor. I served in Desert Storm. I have been in situations such as this, and it was important to me to go to our hospitals and thank the doctors, the nurses, and the staff And I can let you know I also had the opportunity to speak with some of the families. They send their thanks for the heroic deeds that were performed yesterday, and I want to assure you that they are all being well cared for.
ATF Special Agent Ashawn Benedict.
At this time, we're also working with our law enforcement partners to look at the ballistics from the weapons discharge and also our ballistic network of NIBIN to see if they correspond with any other shootings.
This is USA Radio News.
What does Meals on Wheels do? They deliver meals and smiles to homebound seniors. But Meals on Wheels does something else. They turn a volunteer's lunch break into a meaningful experience.
As small and as simple as the relationship is between a volunteer and a client of Meals on Wheels, it's really so impactful. I never thought that 5 minutes could make so much difference in the lives of two people, but it has.
Drop off a warm meal and get more than you expect. Volunteer at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. That's AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. Brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Oh, these pains. My neck, my back, shoulders. I've got to get some relief.
Stress from everyday life, past injuries, or surgeries can cause inflammation that leads to pain, but you don't want to take another pill.
There's an easier, healthier way, right?
Yes, with hot or cold therapy products at sunshine-pillows.com.
Pillows? For my aches and pains?
Oh, not just pillows. Sunshine-pillows.com has the best selection of custom heated neck wraps and heated neck pillows, plus travel pillows. Pillows, microwavable body heating wraps, and more. It's all available to you online.
Finally, stress relief with no drugs.
Right. And now you can buy any select combo up to $150 and get 30% off. Just use this promo code, SAVE30, when you click sunshine-pillows.com. Save 30% when you spend up to $150 on any select combo. Use promo code SAVE30. Sunshine-pillows.com. Your complete line of therapeutic pillows and pads.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Yeah, so Don, we were just talking about the attitude of UFO investigators and who has credentials and who doesn't. Not long ago, we had a guest, Greg Lawson, who dubs himself the paranormal investigator, who has a history of investigative service in law enforcement. So people like him, I think you might agree, deserve maybe some credibility in the field.
Well, sure. But it's like anything else. It depends upon how they conduct their work. Okay. Now, what I was basically saying before we had to go to break is that we've got this case with Vito Sicari. He had allied himself with a group of MUFON people down in Houston that was intending to retrace all his steps with Lester Howells to basically verify his story. All right. So when you're in the middle of an investigation, it's a must. There's no deviation. You've got to keep it quiet and confidential, and professional investigators, police officers, military investigators, etc., government investigators, they know this, all right? But you had a bunch of amateurs. And somebody within that group, as they were getting started, shot their mouth off about what they were doing. And the second they did that, and they even, I believe, and I'm going strictly from memory now, they had some type of publication that they published every month or so, even wrote an article about what they were doing. Well, the second you do that, what did you do? You warned the people that you were coming to see, that you were coming to see them. And they had all the time in the world to cover up, to hide stuff, whatever. And they shot it down from the get-go before they even really got started because somebody couldn't keep their mouth shut. Now, that's always been a problem with the amateurs in the UFO field. They come across what appears initially to be an interesting story. They begin touting the story before they have their investigation done, before they go out. They talk to the witnesses or they examine the site, whatever the case may be. All right. What does that do? Well, that shoots any potential credibility you ever may have had right down the toilet. Boom. It's gone. It's done. It's over. And the reason is people don't know how to investigate.
Well, not many people. And, well, I guess if you're in MUFON, they have a pretty good UFO investigators handbook there. It's reviewed through that, and it seems pretty thorough and pretty reasonable. Have you had a chance to check it out yourself?
Years ago, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at least they make an effort. In some cases,
but do they?
Well,
do
yeah,
they?
I guess it depends.
Do
I guess
they
it
really?
Depends. Yeah, which investigator you get, I guess, is the real question there. But because I've seen some real bad examples there too. But still, I mean, if we have someone who's, say, academically credentialed but has no ufology background, they can mess it up just as bad as somebody who's interested in UFOs and maybe knows a lot about them but has no investigative background.
Well, that's why you then bring in the experts. Okay? For example, let's say you're examining a case that happened in the XYZ part of state, whatever. You have the academic background, and you have an interest, and you know what you want to try to discover, but you don't know how to go about it. So what would you do? What would a reasonable person do?
Bring in the experts, just like you're saying. Find someone. Well, my suggestion is to, if you're going to have science enter into ufology, have it be at arm's length from ufology. Don't bring in another ufologist because then there's bias involved. Bring in someone who's independent and knows what they're talking about, like they did with Hynek as an astronomer, for example.
Well, okay, let's talk about Jay Allen. J. Allen Hynek was the Air Force's civilian astronomy consultant to Project Blue Book, right?
Right.
And J. Allen Hynek began his work with the Air Force when? The early 50s, right?
Let's see here.
It is the early 50s, the early days of Project Blue Book, definitely.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Now.
1952.
Right. So, what did the Air Force tell Hynek he would be doing? He would be going out to investigate these seemingly inexplicable cases, and he was doing it for his government. And they were paying J. Allen Hynek what? About $5,000 a year. Now, let me tell you what. In 1952, 53, $5,000 a year to consult was a healthy chunk of money. All right? It was pretty good.
Yeah, you could buy two or three cars for that back in those days.
Right.
Brand new ones.
And that didn't even have anything to do with his day job.
Let me tell everybody what we're talking about here. $5,000 in 1952. In 2019, $47,402.45. That's just about the mean family income in the U.S., meaning that with his day job, he'd be doing quite well.
Yes. Now, how did he keep that job and not manage to piss anybody off so they would basically get rid of him and bring somebody else in? That was a sweet spot, boy. And not only did you get the $5,000 a year, you got all the quote unquote, positive publicity, right? You betcha. And they had that scintilla of, this is Dr. J. Allen Hynek, Air Force consultant. Well, you don't want to upset the big boys upstairs, do you? And even James McDonald, who was an atmospheric physicist from the University of Arizona, doctor, okay, who was infamously famous in the UFO field, said that Dr. J. Allen Hynek was a quote-unquote very timid man. So Hynek was not going to upset the apple cart. And the Air Force, even though it was unjustified, made Hynek look like a boob in 1966 during the Hillsdale, Michigan UFO sightings at that college campus, when he came out with that ludicrous, ridiculous, you know, suggestion that those UFOs could have conceivably been swamp gas.
Swamp gas. Yeah, the whole swamp gas thing.
The entire nation convulsed in belly laughs, okay? Hynek was humiliated. And it wasn't too long after that, Hynek finally said, I'm hanging up my UFO spurs.
Now, in all fairness to Dr. Hynek, he did leave the Air Force, and he got involved setting up the Center for UFO Studies and became a very, very strong advocate for UFO reality. We'll have a final segment with Don Ecker coming right up. I want to remind you that we have that special segment we've been doing on After the Paracast with William Puckett, latest UFO sightings. Of course, he is a skilled investigator and atmospheric scientist. You'll want to hear that. You have to join, though, the Paracast Plus to get it. For more information, go to plus.theparacast.com. Once again, that's plus.theparacast.com. We have Don Ecker, we have Gene Steinberg, we have the one and only J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state, until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
If you feel you've been lied to, pressured, or misled into buying your timeshare, you have the right to cancel completely. This is Steve Sanchez, and I'd like to introduce you to Wesley Financial Group, the leading top-rated timeshare cancellation company in the country. That's right, no more excessive fees or lifetime commitments that make you feel like you're serving a prison sentence. Founded by CEO Chuck McDowell, a pioneer in the industry, who went into federal court and won against the largest timeshare resort company in the world just to help you get out of your timeshare. Too good to be true? No. Countless testimonials and the highest ratings from the Better Business Bureau make Wesley Financial Group the real deal, and their money-back guarantee they put in writing makes them the Steve Sanchez choice for successfully canceling your timeshare guaranteed. To get their free information kit, call 1-800-475-1919. That's 1-800-475-1919, or visit them at timesharecancellations.com. That's 1-800-475-1919.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Final segment, Don Eckert. Let's kind of move into a sum up here. With what's been going on, the New York Times is taking UFOs seriously. The Washington Post is taking UFOs seriously. Saw an article there just a few days ago. All this being equal.
And that's a shocker, I might add.
Absolutely. Are we near anything new or any new developments in getting the word out?
Well, that seems to be the thread running through UFO-dom, that there's a new day dawning in UFO research. I've been around just long enough, I got to tell you, I am still and probably always skeptical. Now, we will see, I guess, whether my skepticism that there's a new day dawning, whether it's justified or not, but I wouldn't bet the next month's house payment on it, Gene.
Okay, well, I don't own a house, so I just have to worry about the next month's rent payment. And even though they're going up in Arizona, I wouldn't even bet anything on that.
Yeah, it's been this way too many times. Look, you know this story. I've told this story here before. Let me preface it by saying that in the years that I've been involved in this field, there were two types of cases that always interested me. Not that the other ones didn't, but these were the ones that really gave me that little bit of a thrill, okay? And those cases were cases involving the military, our military, and cases that were involved with near Earth and outer space cases. And we've had those too. Now, in 92, I broke on national TV, on NBC, and then on CNN, on Larry King Live, what I at the time thought was one of the most astounding cases ever. And that was the case that took place with the space shuttle STS-48, the STS-48 case. During that incident, the shuttle was above New Zealand and Australia. It was shooting a live stream from a camera mounted to the shuttle down to the Earth. As the thing started, they were above Australia. You could see that there were lightning strikes happening beneath the shuttle over Australia. There was a big storm going on when suddenly this unknown, inexplicable object rose above the limb of the Earth. And when it did, off screen, you couldn't see where it came from, but there was a brilliant flash of light and something streaked past the shuttle directly at this object, which immediately took a violent, evasive maneuver and shot out into space. What did we seemingly observe? What we saw was a NASA mission filming a UFO rising above the planet, something appearing to shoot at it, it taking violent, evasive maneuvers, and flying off into space. And then, incidentally, it circled back around. If you kept watching, you saw that. Was I the only one suggesting that something unseemly happened? No. As I later found out, and it's a hell of a story, Dr. Bruce Maccabee, who at the time was a naval optical physicist, and another guy, okay, who was a NASA contractor, went to the chairman of the science subcommittee, telling him they were fearful that a shooting war had started in outer space. Nobody knew this at the time. When I went on Larry King Live, okay, the show then was a worldwide program. It was broadcast in CNN all around the globe in real time. And King took calls, if he had time, near the end of the show. So we're talking about a worldwide audience. I'm on there. I'm debating Dr. James Oberg, another NASA contract scientist who tried to poo-poo the whole thing. The other guy that was with Maccabee was a fellow by the name of Vincent DiPietro. He was an engineer, was working as a contractor for NASA. King only took two calls. One of the calls was from another NASA contractor, and then DiPietro called the show, trying to dismiss this. The guy that had gone to see the subcommittee chairman, telling him that he was afraid that there was a space war brewing. I was convinced that after all these years, there would be enough interest generated in the media that they would at least follow up on this after the program. You know how many calls we got at UFO Magazine about that story, guys? You know how many? Zero.
Oh, wow.
Zero calls. Although I did have a call from a reporter back there who had been, well, he had been a writer for UFO Magazine. He had an interest in it, in the subject, but he used his pseudonym because he worked occasionally on defense publications. He called me up shortly after the show, and he said, "So how many people have you heard from, Don?" And I said, "None." He said, "Really?" He said, "Well, I don't know if this will make you feel good or not, but you managed to piss off a lot of people at the Pentagon." And I said, "What?" He said, "Oh, yeah, you had some very disturbed people over there," which I wouldn't have known one way or the other. We never heard a thing. And then he said, "By the way, you know that live feed that came down from the shuttle?" "Yeah." "Well, they've encrypted it. So anything you see from this point forward will be not in real time. It will be vetted or in time delay." I guess that's my claim to fame.
Don Ecker, please tell our listeners, if they want to know more about all the many, many thousands and millions of things you do, where do they go?
Well, the best place, I guess, would be Facebook. I have my personal page up there, Don Ecker, and then also my radio show, which airs both Friday and Saturday evenings beginning at 5 p.m. Pacific time and 8 o'clock Eastern on KGRARadio.com.
We're heard, of course, on GCN, and I want to make a quick announcement. Because of the way the show is distributed online or via satellite, you may not be able to hear this show on some stations that carried it before. It'll be on new stations. If you have difficulty hearing the Paracast, simply subscribe in iTunes. That's all. Or you go to theparacast.com where you can download every single day one, February 28th, 2006, every single episode, every appearance of Don Eckert. And other guests, too. We have a few other guests along the way. But we also offer an ad-free version of the Paracast, and to do that, you got to join. The Paracast Plus, it's a modest subscription rate, starting at $1.49 a week, and we offer monthly, annual, lifetime. With 5-year subscriptions and lifetime, we give you free stuff. Who doesn't want free stuff? I don't see any hands raised. Okay, no virtual hands being raised there. Okay, to get more information, go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. And one more thing, as they used to say at Apple Incorporated Media Events, we offer the After the Paracast podcast. It's uncensored. It's uninterrupted. You never know what's going to happen next, and frankly, neighbors, we don't either, because it can get really, really fascinating. Don Eckert, thank you for joining us this week on the Paracast.
You are welcome, and thank you for the invitation.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow, I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool.
Wrinkle gone?
It's easy, just put it on your finger and go. I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. Turning 40, I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.